This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Cheryl, this episode finds me laughing, I think, the hardest I've laughed in a long time.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I have some good laughs in my life.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, those thoughts that you get in your head and you can't move on from?
Yeah. Yeah, we really got stuck in a bad place.
It was a fun place.
Yeah, but it was an unprofessional place.
Right. That's the only unprofessional moment of this entire listen. So we want to apologize ahead of time.
Yeah. I think you guys are going to like it. By the way, this documentary is not funny. But for some reason, this podcast, you'll see. You'll listen. You'll hear it.
The hardest I've laughed in 24 hours.
Oh.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hi, Cheryl.
You ready to do this thing?
I was born ready to do this exact thing. What about you?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this lady is nuts, but smart.
I guess.
I think so.
This is called The Inventor Out for Blood in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't familiar with it, but it's a 2019 documentary directed by Alex Gibney. It chronicles the rise and fall of Elizabeth Holmes and her revolutionary blood testing company, Theranos. The company, which Elizabeth founded as a teenager, became one of the hottest startups in Silicon Valley history before collapsing amidst allegations of massive fraud. The film premiered at Sundance and was produced by HBO Documentary Films. Were you familiar with this?
Well, yeah, I watched it when it came out.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I rewatched it. This is what I do. Yeah. But it was fun to watch again. I was dying to see this because I am fascinated at people who go for a really big lie,
uh-huh,
and they get everyone to believe them, and then they start believing it themselves.
But that's the thing, is did she set out believing that she could?
Yeah,
because they did reference Edison,
right?
He ended up, you know, essentially saying something was so before it was, and then it was. My gut tells me that she believed this and envisioned this, and it did not come to fruition. But her ego and lunacy could not let it go. And I personally don't know how she was so appealing to so many people. That was the real mystery to me. But maybe I'm just being judgmental.
Well, I think people that show a lot of confidence and can talk the talk. People are drawn to them. And I think because she's a woman that people were sort of, whatever, ready to see a strong woman start an amazing company. So just so people, if you haven't seen it, it's okay. Her name is Elizabeth Holmes, and she started this company, Theranos, when she was 19, and she was attending Stanford. And what the company is, which sounds great, that you could just take a little drop of blood from somebody's finger, like a tiny pinprick. And then she created this little tiny computer that you could put that drop of blood in.
Very tiny, very tiny stuff.
Yes, it's very tiny. What is the capsule? The capsule's called something like
a nanotainer. So she was just making stuff up left and right.
Yeah.
What is this? What is this, Elizabeth? That's a nanotainer.
Let's call it a nanotainer.
Yeah, it's a nanotainer. Moving on.
So then you would put this little drop of blood into this little, what did she call it? The Edison, right? Mm-hmm. She named the
It basically looked like a fax machine.
Yeah.
And it probably was, after watching the movie. she was probably just putting nanotainers. She was just faxing nanotainers.
Yeah. Well, the idea is that you put this drop of blood in and this little computer processes your blood, tiny drop, and checks like 200 different tests to see if what you have wrong with your body or what you have right with your body.
Diseases, yeah.
So people were very interested. This is like, you know, people were on board with it and thought, wow, this is amazing. And she dropped out of Stanford because she was so
successful. But that's where she probably should have stayed in Stanford. So she could have learned more and found that this is incorrect and what she was doing was wrong. I'm a dropout and I have no regrets. But hearing her story, I'm feeling like maybe she should have stayed in school.
And by the way, I mean, somebody told her that this is impossible.
And she said, no.
You got to take a step back. She said, no, I got this.
She was very focused on the build it and they will come theory.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, we'll listen to her a second at a TED Talk, which I think really put her on the map. But when you watch this documentary, she's got these eyeballs that
she does have.
She
eyeballs.
Never blinks. They're big eyeballs and she never blinks.
And remember how I've commented on how deep your voice can get when you get really into yeah. something?
Oh, her.
She's got a deep voice. So I just want to prepare.
She kind of talks. Yeah. She kind of talks like this.
Cheryl's not known for her impressions.
You listen to her and you tell me if I didn't just nail it.
Do one more before we go into it.
My name is Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay.
And I've got a Theranos situation.
Fax machine.
Over the course of the last 11 years, we've made it possible.
I wasn't wrong.
To run comprehensive laboratory tests from a few drops of blood that could be taken from a finger. And we've made it possible to eliminate the tubes and tubes of blood.
That's good. That's good. I think we get it. She's a slow, deliberate talker. She's got a very deep voice. And she loved Steve Jobs. I mean, she clearly liked his look because she only wears turtlenecks.
Turtlenecks. She tried to sneak in there that she's always worn them since she was 14. But I would like to see some. I feel like they even showed some pictures of her
when
she was younger. There was no black turtleneck.
I noticed that too.
And of course, from childhood, we all have a turtleneck. But let's not pretend. I mean, the majority of us. But let's not pretend we only wore black turtlenecks, okay?
When you're in third grade and you're just going to school in your black turtleneck every day.
Yeah.
But by the way, she's an attractive
I didn't know your type in women.
That never blinks.
That's your type. Interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, Elizabeth Holmes is my type.
You guys look alike.
A lady who never blinks and just talks bullshit. God. But I think that was part of her allure.
Uh-huh.
she really attracted older men with money.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that part of it?
I do, yeah. I couldn't even believe. And what's so crazy is, I mean, not to get ahead of the story here, but I think our listeners can tell by our tone, if they haven't seen this documentary. Well, and you just said she was full of shit. You said bullshit, okay?
Listen, you said it first. You didn't say bullshit, but you said, you told everybody that she was a
cuckoo bird. But she, again, what surprises me is how many people she lured to her, and especially these older men with a lot of money. What's also crazy is when the truth came out, it's kind of like Trump. When the truth came out, her followers still believed in her. And they still believed it was true and that it was possible. And I feel like if I was lured as far as these people were lured, once the truth came out, I would jump ship and be like, okay, yeah, she did seem crazy. You know, she did seem a little weird. Yes.
I kind of felt all along. Yeah.
Yes. Her eyes were completely dry. She never blinked.
Well, I think it goes back to, did we talk about before, did we talk about the capability of being able to lie to yourself?
Maybe.
Because some people, I was listening to NPR. Hi. That's smart.
Intellectual alert. Intellectual alert.
I like that. I really feel like that puts me on the map of an intellect. Anyway, they had somebody on there who was talking about people who can lie to themselves. And they said that sometimes athletes are able to do that, and they will, before they go compete, tell themselves that they are going to win it. They're going to win, and they believe it, 100% believe. Mm-hmm. So some people can lie to themselves, and she is one of them.
Okay, but what are you saying about the athlete? And then they do win or they don't win? To me, that doesn't sound like a lie. It just sounds...
Well, they can't win every time. Or they say, or I'm the best in the world, and they believe it. And then they're not always going to be best in the world, but they believe it.
But what was this story? Was it, it went beyond athletes, the NPR intellectual alert story?
Well, I can't remember it all.
nor can you understand it all. I just remember... Listen, Cheryl was listening to NPR, and she does remember them talking about how athletes will sometimes encourage themselves by saying, I can do this. And therefore, what?
They can lie to themselves and believe that they are the best in the world.
So they really believe they are the best in the world.
Yes.
Because there, I have moments where I think, come on, Tig, you can do it. And then I get out of bed.
Right. After a motivational talk.
Yeah. Come on, Tig. Just roll over. Go on. Roll over.
Well, it's just like Ram! Elizabeth.
Three cats in the way. Oh, no. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do all your cats sleep with you?
Pretty much. Yeah. We call it Kitty City around the house now. We have Fluff, and then we have two kittens. Don't me. I'm telling you.
I don't
you.
Like it.
Well, you don't have to sleep with me.
Well, let's not rule anything out. Listen.
Yeah, let's not. when is the time going to come that you have to sleep with me?
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, weird things happen.
Okay, listen, you heard it first from the intellectual...
What if my house was on fire and I called you and I said, Tig, I have nowhere to go.
Yeah, I'm who would you call? I don't know why I have to sleep in your bed. An intellectual. That's who you would call.
There's nobody else in LA that I can call.
How about the fire department?
Well, I can't sleep at the fire department.
A long time ago, not even a long time ago, probably a couple years ago, I told you that I felt like you and Bobby... I don't know if you remember me saying this, but the level of friendship that I feel with the two of you is if I was locked out of my house, I had nowhere to go, and say it's 3:30 in the morning, I would feel comfortable going up to your bedroom window and knocking on the window.
Yeah. That I feel the same way about you. That's why in my house was on fire. I feel like you and Stephanie would invite me in and let me snuggle in between you.
No, there's two boys and there's three cats. But I'm, you know, there's some people where I would say, oh gosh, I have nowhere to go. I can't go up to their window and knock on their, right. at this hour. Whereas with you, I'd be like, oh my God, yes, we can. And also tell your friends. I would bring a whole gaggle.
Yeah. I can't wait to tell her what just happened.
I have no problem disturbing their sleep and, you know, let's go in. But if there's a fire and you want to snuggle in bed with my entire family and all of our animals.
Well, I'm hoping that the cats wouldn't be involved.
Well, yeah, Kitty City would probably get scared and they'd probably run out and hide.
Okay.
But
that's all I needed to
hear. Get you and Bobby in bed snuggling with my entire family. First of all, I think my children would be so scarred by a hairy man being in bed. They wouldn't know what to do with themselves.
Well, Tig, they're going to have to learn these things. No. I mean, they're going to have to.
Oh. No. Not in this house. Are you just We're keeping hairy men a secret.
What happens when they get, you know.
When they become hairy men.
Yeah. What happens?
Well, then it'll be a fun surprise.
Okay, listen. Back to Elizabeth.
Oh, right.
Holmes. Mm-hmm. She had a good idea.
She believed in herself.
People liked this idea. Mm-hmm. And she thought she was going to get there. Mm-hmm. So for a while, she knew that these machines were not ready and were not working properly. But because this all happened in Silicon Valley, it's highly usual for people to be on super lockdown, don't tell anybody our secrets.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone we're faxing vials of blood to nowhere.
Our secret is we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Don't tell anyone. So it is weird because like you're saying, she did have all of these people working for her, 900 people or something, 800 people. And she built this huge company and they were desperately trying to make it work. Mm-hmm. And she'd walk through the halls.
In her black turtleneck.
Turtleneck, like sort of peacock feather, like, hey, mm-hmm. it's my mm-hmm. company. And everybody.
Bark,
bark. Wait, is that what a peacock sounds like?
That was unrelated to peacocks.
Was that a chicken?
It was unrelated to this podcast. I'd like you to keep going.
What happened?
None of your
business. It was intentional. It
I have my own life.
I think you think that's what a peacock sounds like.
Burp, burp.
Oh, no. Okay. So she's, you know, walking around and building this company. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then she had some really powerful investors.
Mm-hmm. It was, wow.
Can you hear me drink water?
I can.
I'm a loud swallower.
Are you?
Yeah, and sometimes if I'm...
Bark, bark.
I remember shooting a movie.
Oh, memory lane.
It's very big.
Okay.
Speaking of cats, uh-huh. I was in a fantastic movie called Nine Lives, and it was about a cat that could talk.
I have been meaning to congratulate you on that film. I know you were asking earlier if it was Oscar season yet before we started recording. And I think you're going to get your Lifetime Achievement Award for that movie during this Oscar ceremony. So congrats ahead
Listen,
of time.
I was great in that movie. Uh-huh. And
were you a cat?
No, I was not a cat. But this is slightly interesting that the cat.
Well, I think that's what everyone tuned in for was slightly interesting side notes.
Kevin Spacey turned into a cat. And the only person that could understand him was Christopher Walken. This is a true story. You can Google it.
These people were cast in the movie as well?
Yes, with Jennifer Garner. This is a real movie. But the point of the story is, Tig, not to get sidetracked on the movie. I had a scene where at the end of the scene, I would take a swallow of my drink.
Oh, right, right. Let's hear it again.
Okay. And it was like this. Mm-hmm. And everybody could hear me swallow, and the whole crew would laugh every time we did a take. And it got to the point where I didn't want to swallow because it was humiliating.
Please don't leave any detail out of this story.
Anyway, that's the whole story. I'm not saying it's a good one. I'm just saying I know I'm a loud swallower.
I just want to reach out to our listeners right now that are maybe on a subway going to work or driving in their car or walking through the neighborhood trying to lose the last 5 pounds that they gained in 2020. We see you. We feel you. Mm-hmm. We apologize.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, listen, we got to get back on this train. Do you want to tell the people some of the events?
My boring story?
Oh, we cannot.
One
no,
time.
No, we can't handle another boring story. We just
okay.
can't.
All right.
No, some of the people that got involved mm-hmm. were...
They were from Apple. They were from Wells Fargo.
Henry Kissinger.
Yes. A lot of big shots.
A lot of big shots.
And then also this guy, Sunny, who was the president and COO,
mm-hmm.
They started...
Getting it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was interesting. And, you know, they didn't seem like a likely couple, but also...
No.
She doesn't have a... I don't mean this in a bad way. You don't, not everybody
she
has
means
to...
means this in a bad way.
Not everybody has to have a sexual...
This is very hurtful, what she's saying. Not everyone has to be sexy.
Right. No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But also, you know how some people you meet and you're like, oh, just like not a...
Like you can't imagine them sexual in any possible way.
Yeah, with any like male,
any
female.
Any person thing.
Yeah.
And you're saying she has that vibe.
Yeah. Did you not mm-hmm. get that vibe from her?
Yeah, I can't imagine being drawn to her in any other way except for, whoa. I would like for her to be in a glass box and just watch her like she's a lizard or something.
Yes, because she's so interesting that she doesn't blink and she talks really low and you feel like, oh, she must know her shit. Because she's got the black turtleneck on and her hair is back in a bun and she's like...
I'm sorry, but those aren't the things that indicate...
They are. They are indicators.
Oh, look at her with her hair back in a bun with a turtleneck on. Yeah, whoo, she must know what
and
she's
the low,
doing.
And the low voice and she's telling you all about her nano... Little dudes, nanotainer.
Nano little dudes. Yeah, I was not attracted to her.
What about Sunny? Were you attracted to Sunny? Sunny's a man.
Sunny is a man.
Doesn't matter. And we're just painting a picture for you.
I was crazily attracted to Sunny.
You are not. Oh my God. I really wish that was
I love
true.
How every episode we discuss who we were or weren't attracted to. In the documentary. It's always just people not even trying to catch our eye or anyone's eye. We're just like, I don't know. I kind of thought he was cute. Or, oh, yeah, no, she was hot. What on earth?
These poor
people. These poor people.
They're like, do not watch my documentary. I don't want to hear.
Somebody's documenting these poor people's lives, and we are critiquing whether or not they're sexy. No wonder people write in irritated, you know, thinking this is going to be some movie review. First of all, this is not a movie review. And second of all, we are here to discuss who is and is not sexy in their documentary.
You know what? It happens. It comes up and we have to deal with it.
We have to deal with it. It's right in our faces.
But I like that it only comes up because we bring it up.
Nobody's
it's not like
asking.
Somebody else. Nobody's asking. I mean, there's not one listener out there that...
First of all, end of sentence.
But there's nobody who said, hey, can you guys talk more about if you think the people are attractive or not? Oh, gosh.
Not just attractive, but sexy. It's not just how are their facial features, because we're not even talking about that. We're not talking about their figure. We're not talking about their bone structure. We're saying, do they have sex appeal? Yes or no?
But this is a good question. Do you think that sex appeal has to do with looks?
No, I think it can be. It's that initial, oh, look at that. Oh. You know, oh, your bones formed that way. So I think you might possibly be interesting. But then, you know, there's humor and there's intelligence.
Yeah, that you find sexy.
Yeah.
Do you think Larry David is sexy?
Why are you asking me if I, oh, because he gets girls.
Yeah. I mean,
girls are nuts about him.
Girls are nuts about him. Yeah. Like Jennifer Lawrence thinks he's sexy.
Uh-huh. Amy Landecker dated him.
Yes. And she's very sexy. Okay. We're taking it to, okay, we got to get back on this anyway.
Wow. So your type is Elizabeth Holmes and Amy Landecker. Interesting.
I never said Elizabeth Holmes is, I would not make out with Elizabeth Holmes.
But you'd make out with Amy Landecker?
Yeah, I think I would. I mean, if the time was right. Listen.
Like if Amy brought you over and lit some candles?
I don't know what this feels right. If my house was on fire.
And Larry Trump. What is happening? I have to wedge a Larry David imitation in.
Yeah, that was perfect.
What are you doing? Why are you making out in my house? Can you do one?
No. I can't follow that because you nailed it.
Right.
Huh? Huh? What's going on? Okay, I'm not going to try.
Wait,
okay,
who was that?
Shut it. Shut it.
Who? Wait, okay, no, here we go. Truly, who was that?
Tig. Tig?
Yes.
Let's get back on track. Okay, so now she's got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Amy Landecker.
And
no,
Sunny.
Amy's married now.
Amy is married now.
Yeah. Too bad. Too bad. So sad.
I missed my opportunity.
Yeah. Right when you think the time is right.
By the way, I am also married.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're real willy-nilly, you know? Podcast to podcast, you're jumping around from the lead singer of Metallica to Amy Landecker.
I mean, I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So listen. So at some point, Theranos.
She is alive. I'm looking at her on Zoom. She's alive.
Theranos signs a contract with Walgreens while they were struggling to fix their Edison machine.
Fax machine. Can we just be honest? Fax machine.
Mm-hmm. You want to hear one of the engineers talk about the broken and dangerous Edison machines? Let's hear that.
You're handling a lot of fluid in the machine. Things got blood spilled all over them and got gunky. Some of the donors that we had were, you know, just people off the street who need money. And I imagine that, you know, there probably was a fair amount of hepatitis and things like that. And the device would freeze up in the middle of running a test, and then I would have to reach in there with my hand. There were needles within the device that could puncture skin.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to hear the word gunky.
Why?
When I'm getting my blood taken.
Gunky?
Yeah. Mm. He said it got gunky.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what was happening inside the Edison machine while they're selling it to Walgreens. And at the time, this is like one of the biggest companies. The company was worth $9 billion.
Mm-hmm.
$9 billion. And so what happened when they started putting these Edison machines into Walgreens, and the idea was people would go in there, get a little pinprick of blood, put it in this machine, and find out what's wrong with them. But the machines weren't working, and so they would have to take blood. People would go in there and like, okay, roll up your sleeve because we have to take a lot of blood from you. And people were like, wait a second, I thought I was just getting, you know, the little pinprick. And they were like, no, things change, don't worry about it.
Things change, don't worry about it.
And they're still going along with this.
When this was going on, were you aware of it?
No. Were you aware of it?
No, I wasn't aware. And do you feel like you would have fallen for this?
You mean if I walked into Walgreens and I was buying a toothbrush and I was like, oh, I'll get a, let me just check my blood real quick.
Uh-huh.
You mean that? Or you mean if I was at Silicon Valley and I had $300 million to invest in?
I guess there's no reason to not fall for it, but I just mean, do you think it would have spoken to you, this company?
I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the idea of it. And everything, there are so many things that are so small, like, you know, microchips and things that are so tiny that I don't understand. I honestly don't even understand
most things.
Like our computer. I don't understand how it's all coming in and how it goes through the air. I don't understand it.
Mm-mm.
Do you understand it?
No, of course not. I don't understand most things.
Right. So if somebody said, hey, I know a lot about this,
I would say, great.
Right. I'd say, all right, I'll pinprick it.
Yeah, I feel
Let's
like
try it.
This could have, if I had known about it, spoken to my vulnerability.
Yes.
Because of having medical issues. And I would have thought, oh,
yeah,
this is really great. This is really helpful. I'm glad I didn't know about it.
Right. Because, yeah.
I was thinking so much about people that were getting their hopes up or they were just too invested in it.
Well, also, you're right about people being vulnerable, because I think a lot of people that were going to Walgreens to test their blood, they were probably people who didn't have the resources to spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, mm-hmm, to go have 200 tests done.
Yeah.
And that's why she drew a lot of people in, because she was also saying that it was like a human, what's the word, when you look out for other people?
Friend? A human friend?
Human rights. It's like
she was like a human friend.
I hope a lot of people hear this one because we are nailing it. Just that she was like a human rights person.
Yeah.
That she was saying, even people that don't have much money, they deserve to be able to check their health, to be able to get out in front of a disease that they might have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really spoke to people and they felt like, oh my gosh, yes. Because that was the idea too in her TED Talk. If people would know about their disease earlier on, they might have been able to do something about it.
Yes.
So I think that really struck people and people were excited about
it. It's
that.
Very appealing.
Yeah, very.
The idea of it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when I was watching this movie, I was just picturing Willy Wonka having some closed door and behind it, he's like, it's a spaceship boat car. It's a modern day spaceship boat car. Give me your money now. And, you know, everybody, oh, let me have a peek. No, not yet. Can't have a peek. Give me your millions. And and then you open the door and there's, you know, a kazoo on the floor.
And there's just like some guy like on a bike, yeah, like creating the energy to run the little
the kazoo.
But she had built an amazing company, mm-hmm, structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, people walked in and they were very impressed with it. And even she went to the link to, when people would walk in to see, you know, what she was doing, she would draw their blood. She'd pinprick their blood, mm-hmm, to show them how it works. She'd give them a tour, yeah, around the property. And meanwhile, she told them that she was checking it with her Edison.
Uh-huh.
But she was using
a kazoo.
She was using machines that were commercially,
yeah,
sold.
Right.
To check all their blood and then say, oh, this is how you turned out.
She still stands by her product. I know I'm jumping ahead, but it's hard not to. She still claims to have told the truth. She still claims her fax machine and kazoo work and can tell you if you have AIDS, cancer, herpes.
When I saw that people were like getting their blood tested while they were on the tour, mm-hmm, does it seem weird to get a blood test back when you're just taking a tour of some place and they're like, oh, we tested you for 200 diseases and here's what you have. Now let's go get a coffee.
Yes.
Is that weird?
Yes.
Is that weird?
You have cancer, AIDS, and herpes. Do you want a latte or a chai tea?
That seemed like weird. Like
they should have a therapist or something in case you have a massive diagnosis.
Yeah. They're just assuming that everybody's blood is going to be perfectly fine, that it's like a parlor game or something. That sort of scared me.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Do you want to hear? People are starting at this point to get a little suspicious.
For good reason.
Listen to the receptionist. She talks about Elizabeth and when she went to interview with her. And one of the things about Elizabeth is that she feels very present, you know, like eye to eye, don't look away type of person. And I think that goes pretty far when people are trying to convince somebody of something.
Yeah. When somebody's trying to trap you with their eyeballs.
Look away.
Yeah. Look away or start backing up. Unless you're, yeah, in a romantic situation, you know.
Then lean in.
Yeah. Lean into the eyeball trappings. But otherwise, skedaddle.
When I went on an interview, Elizabeth was there. And I was a little surprised, considering I would be the low man on the totem pole. I found out later there was no one that got past her in order to get hired. I know this sounds odd, but my first impression was that she didn't blink.
Doesn't sound odd.
No, and I like the photo that they showed to prove she didn't blink was a still.
Of her with her eyes open.
Yeah, it was a still with her eyes open. And that's their proof. No more questions.
Okay, listen. They start getting paranoid. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Sonny. Mm-hmm. Because people are starting to
talk.
Yeah. And they start referring to each other as Eagle One and Eagle Two.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can I just say,
you want us to be called that?
Well, as far as code names and code words go,
those are overused. Eagle,
they're overused. Oh, Eagle is overused. Like, do something else.
We should probably rename this podcast Eagle One and Eagle Two. Why would somebody use that? That's silly. That's somebody that's been watching cartoons.
Yeah.
To actually present that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. You have a multi-billion-dollar company and you suggest to somebody with a straight face.
Yeah.
Like, say you and I started a company.
Yeah.
And we were getting paranoid.
Yeah.
And I say, with a straight face.
Yes.
Cheryl, we need to start going by Eagle One and Eagle Two.
And by the way, I like that everybody else at the company is like, Tim, Sam, Susan, Eagle One, Eagle Two.
But what would you say to me if I suggested we start going by Eagle? Like, I have a great idea. Eagle, yeah, One, Eagle Two. What would you say to me?
Well, I feel like I'm a person that would be like, look, if that means a lot to you, I'll do it. I mean, do I think it's dumb? Yeah, I would think it's dumb, but I'd still, if it if it made you feel better.
And how would you feel about being Eagle 2?
Yeah, I'd rather be Eagle 1.
Well, yeah, who wouldn't? I'm going to fight you to the end to be... I'm not going to be Eagle 2.
Whoever comes up with it
is Eagle 1.
They're going to put themselves the genius. As number 1.
Yeah. Like, oh, it was my idea. So obviously I'm Eagle 1.
I'm Eagle 1. I mean, why not just come up with code names for yourself, like Thelma and Bob?
Why not Louise?
You know what I mean? Well, because he's a guy. I'm just saying.
But these that would guys really could... throw people if they're like, okay, Thelma and Louise making their entrance.
Well, I think it would also stick out
mm-hmm.
like Eagle 1 and Eagle 2. But if you said Thelma and Bob are coming to the building, people would be like, I don't give a shit about Thelma and Bob.
That's really smart, Cheryl.
Thanks.
Cuckoo Bird 1 and Cuckoo Bird 2 are entering the building.
Oh, can I tell you?
Sure.
There's a point in this documentary when people are starting to worry. They're hearing things. Things are starting to come apart a little bit. And then the FDA approves Theranos to test for herpes. And it was a celebration like Mardi Gras in that building.
And how does the FDA approve that?
Yeah, that's a good...
I mean, seriously.
And why only herpes? Where they're like, okay, we'll give you herpes.
Yeah, what about the other 199 ailments that...
Yeah.
But we have all the faith in the world that we can detect a bubble on your lip. Isn't that what...
By the way, also awkward when these people are taking a tour of the factory and they test herpes, positive for herpes.
Herpes. Herpes.
Like,
just that you get the herpes stamp.
I mean, it's nothing about this seems relaxing or, I mean, I would be terrified.
It's basically the herpes tour, right? You come out the other end and you find out if you have herpes.
Because that's all they're approved to.
Do I have herpes? Yes. Yes, you
do. You want a cappuccino? Oh, my God.
People with blisters on their lips come through. And find out they do, in fact, have herpes.
Yeah, now it's 100% sure they know.
But could they actually detect herpes or not? I'm confused.
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know that they answer that.
That makes me not trust the FDA. And this is a time when we need to have faith in the FDA.
Yeah.
Not that there's a time when we can be real loosey-goosey with the FDA.
But yeah, we're in crunch time. But the thing is that they were sending the blood off to get it checked by these commercially sold machines.
Herpes machines. So,
maybe their herpes diagnoses were always right on.
How
for people
hilarious.
Like, oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
How
like,
nobody- hilarious that this woman gathered Henry Kissinger and all these people, all these old men with billions of dollars and so much experience, and her fax machine just tells you if you have herpes or not. That's what this is all
at Walgreens. Like, how that's where you find out. It's like everything herpes. About it. It's not, it's a $9 billion
herpes
company
machine.
At Walgreens. It's just like, I mean, so. So the wheels are coming off.
You have herpes.
I like they announce it.
Next.
In this store.
You have herpes.
But listen.
Oh,
seriously?
My God. Okay.
During all of this time, John Kerry Root from the Wall Street Journal, he starts an investigation. Uh-huh. And he and he learns that the majority of the blood tests are being done commercially. Oh, my God. And
I can't get over a $9 billion herpes machine.
In a very public way.
That she had a TED Talk about. The whole operation, everything that was put behind this. I can't, I'm sorry. I don't know why I can't move on from it all boiling down to a $9 billion herpes
herpes detector.
Herpes still today.
But like I said, in this documentary, I just love the celebration that went on when they got approved for herpes. Okay, listen. So this guy starts doing this investigation. Okay.
I'm probably going to have to sit out for the rest of the show.
take a knee. And he starts.
I think, and I don't have herpes, but I feel like mm-hmm. you know you have herpes when your crotch is burning, right? Or you have a bubble on your lip or something.
Well, I'm sure that people would go get tested if they felt like there might be an irregularity
right.
somewhere.
I'm just saying, it probably doesn't need a $9 billion herpes detector. Right.
If you have a symptom, let's just say you probably have
herpes.
You're going to be okay, but you don't need to go to Walgreens and have it announced in aisle 9.
I guess I'm just thinking also, if I started this company and this machine and I was, it all boiled down to herpes I just think of how embarrassing that would be after doing TED Talks and flying all around the world and having political allies.
People invested in you.
People are so invested in everything you're doing. Just detecting herpes.
Listen, they were thrilled to get that approval.
Look, I'm thrilled they got the approval. Look at me. I've never been so happy. I think that's the hardest I've laughed in my life.
That really got you. That really got you.
Oh, please. Should we go into the time I really got you?
No.
All right.
No. Okay. Everybody's heard that story, and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, I know. But this doesn't go anywhere.
Well, at least it has to do with this documentary.
Barely.
I'm trying to get us back on track. Okay, listen. So now this guy is investigating her, and now Theranos has a lawyer.
Smartest thing they've done.
Yeah, but by the way, do you know how much they spent on attorneys?
$9 billion.
No, but like $400 million. Anyway, so he's starting to think, oh, wait a second, this isn't adding up, and their labs are inaccurate, and they say that. I don't know why this is all about sexual diseases. If a hundred people, is what they said, if 100 people, listen, syphilis is not a laughing matter. But if 100 people with syphilis use Theranos for tests, only 65 would come up positive. So 35 people would think, oh, okay, I thought I had syphilis, but I don't.
Right. The syphilis portion of this podcast isn't nearly as funny
as the herpes
detector.
Okay, I'm pushing through. I don't need you to go off on another jag.
Well, I don't need you to get mad at me for being so happy.
Well, listen, we've got to tell people what happens.
Yeah, no. And it all ends up really positive.
Walgreens finally puts a stop to Theranos centers.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Find out that you have herpes elsewhere.
And then John Kiriru's Wall Street Journal article was published, and then the FDA bans the nanotainer.
Oh.
You get handed herpes and you get it taken right away.
Yeah. You have to rely on your burning crotch.
Just as an indicator.
Yeah.
The CMS, I don't even know what CMS stands for, do you?
I know, but... Does anything matter?
does anything matter? What is that? What are you talking about?
Just in the big picture of life.
What are you talking about?
Does anything matter?
Why would you say that in the middle of our...
Why would you get so upset and take it so seriously and personally as you sit in your own closet?
Why would you
say that while we're recording our podcast? Why would you dare say, does anything matter?
Shut up. Why would you shout out, does anything matter? Oh, my God.
Oh my God. Okay. So yeah, the CMS revoked it. What do you think the CMS is? It's so particularly funny to see you cry out loud. Why would you say, does anything matter, as you sit in your closet?
Because you have to at least act like it matters for this podcast. Okay, I gotta pull it together.
What do you think CMS stands for?
I think it stands for country's most...
Center for Medical Services.
Oh, is that right?
I don't know.
Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Wow. Wow, okay.
Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Okay, wow. Okay. Embarrassing.
So...
Wow, I'm embarrassed.
Does it really matter? Does anything really matter?
Not known for her...
Impersonations. It sounded like Larry did.
That's your go-to. And that's terrible. When you imitate me, you do Larry David, and your Larry David is terrible.
Okay, listen, we've got to wind this down.
Okay, sorry to bother you.
So now Elizabeth never admits to doing anything wrong.
No.
And instead, she doubles down.
She should have just pivoted to, I created a herpes detector. That's what she should have pivoted to. It's just taken pride, just been like,
the
look.
The one thing that she did
if
accomplish.
If your crotch is burning or you have a bubble on your lip, let's send it through the fax machine and I'll blow the kazoo if you have herpes.
Oh my God.
That's what she should have done. She just should have taken it on and been like.
She didn't.
Okay.
She didn't. All right. She doubled down on her lie okay. to the world. Mm. She introduced a new computer.
Oh.
That looked exactly like the Edison.
Looked suspiciously like the herpes detector.
But it was called the Mini Lab.
Uh-huh.
And at this point...
Also a fax machine.
Yes. Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, and David Bowie's. Not David Bowie. How are we going to... Come on.
Does anything matter? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You heard it. You heard it here first. It was Henry Kissinger, George Shultz, and David Bowie. They all resigned.
Listen, I'm reading names from... Maybe that's not how you pronounce his name. Boys? David Boys. I think it's Bowie's. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Does anything matter?
No.
They resigned from the board. And then, this is sad. Oh. And then Elizabeth breaks up and fires Sonny.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Typical.
I was not expecting that. I cried so hard when they split up.
I was going to ask you if you cried during this documentary. Because I know.
I do.
You're a crier.
I am a crier. I like that every episode we go over, did you cry? And who are you attracted to? Like any good
critics would.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We sexualize everybody. And
everybody.
If we can't sexualize them, then they are the least sexy person in the world.
Okay.
Okay.
In 2018,
yes.
Theranos dissolves and Elizabeth and Sonny are charged. They are charged with conspiracy and fraud. Mm-hmm. Because, by the way, I mean, it's really sad because people were being misdiagnosed.
Except with herpes.
Herpes, they were 100% on.
Yeah. Woo!
But
woo!
It is,
huh?
It is a good question. Why did the FDA, out of all those
yes.
200 tests, why were they like, you know what? They're pretty good at the herpes
yeah,
one.
They can definitely tell when your crotch is burning and you have bubbles on your lips.
So anyway, as of now, they've been charged with conspiracy and fraud, but I guess they're not in jail yet because they haven't been able to go to court because of COVID.
And I'll put it out there. Elizabeth, if you're listening,
oh,
get in touch.
Oh, my God.
And we would love to chat.
DM us. We would love to chat.
I don't check my DMs. I have to be honest.
I don't either.
Stephanie laughed at me because she flipped through my Instagram and she was like, you know, you have messages over here. Never even peekabooed over there.
It never crossed your mind.
No.
All right, Tig, it is time for Happily Ever After Thoughts.
Would you recommend this to anyone, Cheryl?
I would recommend this to everyone. I love it so much. But I am fascinated by psychopath? Sociopath. Mm-hmm. I think she's a sociopath,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She can lie and believe the lie and tell people. I think she's more comfortable lying than telling the truth, mm-hmm. which I find fascinating. Would you recommend it?
I would. Yeah. I definitely liked the documentary. I would say, you know, yeah, it wasn't one of my favorites, but it was definitely interesting.
Okay. And what's the biggest takeaway for you?
Well, I would hate to think that with the loss of Elizabeth Holmes in this medical genre that, you know, have we lost the world's greatest herpes detector with her, you know?
That it
That's
is.
That's a takeaway. I leave this wondering, how will we know? As Whitney Houston once said, how will I know?
Do you think she was talking about a herpes detector?
Probably.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that's fair. And I, you know, it's tough if we as a nation lost that. That's tough.
It's one of the hardest things we're facing as a nation right now is the loss of the $9 billion herpes detector.
At the drugstore.
At Walgreens.
You have herpes.
I like that the little Edison machine makes an announcement. Oh, you know what I learned? I learned that if you're lying, you should just keep your eyes open and don't blink.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
That was my takeaway.
Do you want to promote anything, Cheryl?
No, I'm good. Do you want to promote anything?
I want to promote this podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story.
True Story. Tell your friends.
It's real fun to record. It's a delight reading messages and comments. So please write us, review us, keep telling us what you think about mm-hmm. the documentaries. And mm-hmm. Also, we might read your review or response or email.
That's true.
Well, Cheryl, let's wrap up
and
get out of here. And
yes.
I need to go lie down after laughing that hard.
My side hurts.
That's funny.
I LOL'd.
Yeah, but
please don't ever say that.
I really hope we hear from Elizabeth Holmes.
Elizabeth, yeah, reach out because we would love to hear your side of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we do it again?
Yes, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Tig and Cheryl, True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can also email us at tigandcherylstruestory@gmail.com. Next week, we'll be talking about Some Kind of Heaven.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.